Praise God. Amen. Good morning, everybody. We're back in our series, Given 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is part 4. Trusting this will be the concluding part of this series. Let's just say together, I don't go low, I go high. And just give him 5 this morning. Give him a high five. Give the Lord a high five today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're in this series, as you know. I've been referring to the prophetic word that I received last year in regard to the response of government to the coronavirus outbreak and the restrictions that were placed upon the gathering of the church as a result. The prophetic word I received was, of course, this ain't no lockdown. That's the way I received it. This ain't no lockdown. This is a siege. It began with a backdown and it will end in a shakedown if there is no showdown. A siege is defined as a military operation in which enemy forces surround a city, a town or a building, cutting off essential supplies with the aim of compelling the surrender of those inside. Hebrews chapter 10 verses 23 to 25, this is from the Amplified Bible, says, "Let us seize and hold tightly to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching." Hallelujah. So I've titled this series, Given 5. Why? Because I believe that it is our responsibility to host the Lord's presence in his church in accordance with his directions as we come together to give him thanks, to release our praise to him, to receive instruction and direction from him through the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Jesus' gifts to the church, to equip the church, to prepare the church for the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So I believe, and it has been my consistent experience that something unique and entirely supernatural takes place when we gather together for worship and for instruction. Something that I believe that can never be fully replicated in any other format. I love the church. I preached this for years and years and years and years. The local church is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there. I am is there in the midst of them." What a promise. Hallelujah. See, I don't go low, I go high. I might just give him 5 right now. Give him a high five. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I mentioned last time, if you remember, the ruling of Lord Braid in the Court of Session just a few weeks ago, where he delivered a historic judgment in response to an action that was brought by a group of Scottish church leaders in regard to the closing of churches during the coronavirus outbreak. And in his judgment, he stated that it was not for the Scottish government to dictate to the petitioners that henceforth, or even for the duration of the pandemic, worship is to be conducted online. That might be an alternative to worship, he said, but it is not worship. At the very best for the respondents, in modern parlance, it is worship light. I love you. I really appreciate that. You know, he also ruled that the decision by the Scottish government to close churches in Scotland as a result of the coronavirus outbreak was unlawful, unconstitutional, and disproportionate. So that's a very significant ruling, and it fits with the word the Holy Spirit gave me regarding a backdown, in the sense that as churches, we would actually have been within our legal rights to continue meeting together during the lockdown periods. So this begs the question, why did the churches back then? And to answer this question, I want to refer back to the last meeting of our church prior to the original lockdown in March 2020, when I shared something that I believed the Lord showed me during our worship time that evening about the source and the purpose of this whole coronavirus business. So I detailed this word actually in a short message which I recorded on the 8th of April 2020, which was titled Exit Strategy Exhortation, and which I made available at that time to anyone who wanted to hear it. So the substance of what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me was that the coronavirus was being employed as a strategy of the enemy to come against the church, to silence us by feeding on the soulish desire that much of the modern church seems to have, a desire to be accepted and to receive the approval and the endorsement of the world. So that what the Lord showed me was based on upon Paul and his apostolic team's visit to Philippi, recorded in Acts chapter 16, where the Lord led them to where the women were praying. They met with Lydia, and in that city, a fledgling church was established in her home. So as the scripture tells us, as they were making their way to prayer every day, there was a young woman who it later turned out was possessed by a spirit of divination, who would follow them and cry out, "These are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now at first, this seemed like free advertising. But after a few days, Paul, scripture says, became greatly annoyed, distressed, and the Amplified Bible says he felt he was being worn out. And so he turned and he said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." You see, a spirit of divination is a python spirit. A python is a constrictor in that it kills its prey, not by injecting them with venom, but by wrapping itself around its victim and asphyxiating them by literally squeezing the life out of them. Now, it took a few days, but Paul discerned that what sounded like an endorsement was actually wearing him out. You know, in our contemporary way of saying things, I guess you could say that when Paul recognized this and acted upon what he discerned, he contradicted the popular narrative with similar results to what tends to happen these days, as he and Silas experienced the full force of cancel culture, first century cancel culture. You know, Paul and Silas, though, they weren't going to allow the reaction to end in a shakedown. They determined to have a showdown, a Holy Ghost showdown. And at midnight, they continued to pray. I mean, you need to understand what had happened to these guys prior to this. They'd been taken and they'd been beaten, and then they'd been thrown into the darkest dungeon of a Philippian prison, which would not have been a pleasant place under any circumstances. And so they're in the middle of their own personal lockdown, and they're still praying and singing praises unto God. And it says something really remarkable. I mean, for years and years, I just read this over and over again, and it just does something on the inside of me. It says, "And the prisoners were listening to them." Until eventually the heavenly showdown broke everybody loose, hallelujah, and restored freedom to those who had been bound. And not only that, but a demonic stronghold over a city was broken. Hallelujah. You know, in the natural, the symptoms of advanced coronavirus apparently cause serious breathing difficulties, and in extreme cases can result in a horrible death, similar to suffocation, where people experience the feelings of being suffocated. Horrendous. You know, in the spiritual realm, the measures introduced to supposedly limit the spread of the virus, measures that were all in direct contravention to the scriptural mandate given to the church to be a gathering of worshippers, to sing praise and to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, actually had the effect of silencing the church and squeezing the life out of her. In that the life of the church manifests in corporate gatherings in a way that, as I've said previously, can never be fully replicated in any other format. I don't know about anyone else, but my spirit has been greatly annoyed. I know that certainly Katrina has been greatly annoyed during this period, and no amount of online worship light has soothed that annoyance. And again, let me just say, in the natural, it has been proven by reputable and highly qualified doctors that there are very simple, inexpensive, and highly effective means of treating coronavirus. But sadly, these people's voices have continually been silenced. Their characters have been dragged through the mud, and their careers have effectively been cancelled, many of them. And in the spiritual realm, the church also has the most simple and effective treatment of all. In fact, we have the ultimate vaccine against all disease. But attempts have been made, and I believe this has been the enemy's ultimate goal, to silence the church in its proclamation of the pure, uncompromised, and unadulterated message of the cross, and all that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished there on behalf of all people everywhere. Let me just repeat here that the entry point that I believe the Holy Spirit showed me was responsible for the church being so quick to back down. I believe that there are people who confuse relevance with approval. You see, you can be very relevant and not be accepted. We must never confuse relevance with being accepted, or confuse relevance with approval, because you can be very relevant and still not be accepted or meet with the approval of the status quo. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, again from the Amplified, is very clear. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed, by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So I believe it's a simple choice: conform or transform. And please be aware, you cannot do both. You will never transform that to which you conform. God said to me many years ago, you have to break out of the cultural mores if you're going to break into and experience the more of God. Ask yourself today, let's ask ourselves an honest question. Has my tendency over this time been to conform or to transform? Come on, say, I don't go low. I go high. Give him five. Give him a high five. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, obviously, there's much I could say concerning the events of the past year. But right now, I want to address a particular aspect of our response as the church, so that any residual weakness is removed and we don't suffer a spiritual long COVID. First of all, I want to introduce a word that I believe can be conspicuously absent in the vocabulary of the church in our generation, although it is a word that most accurately describes much of the prophetic content of both the Old and New Covenant scriptures. The word is spelt W-A-R-N-I-N-G, warning, which is defined as a statement or event that indicates a possible or impending danger, problem, or other unpleasant situation. You see, I believe the first word that I brought in March 2020, at that last meeting of the church before the first lockdown in Father's house, and also the subsequent word regarding this not being a lockdown but a siege, were both prophetic warnings that came to equip us to successfully navigate our way through these times without the work of the ministry suffering in any way but rather prospering. As I've stated many times over the past year, our message has never been more obviously relevant in regards to our opportunity to testify about our Heavenly Father's supernatural provision and protection, as opposed to looking to faulty science and experimental medicine to save us. You know, for some reason, I don't think the modern church receives warnings very well. It's as though a warning is no longer accepted as a valid part of the gospel message. It's almost like a warning is just bad news. We don't want to hear bad news. When in reality, a warning is very much good news. If it comes to save you from disaster, if it comes to prevent you from missing out on God's glory, say, I don't go low. I go high. Just give him a five right now, come on. Give him a high five, hallelujah. Praise him, glory to God, hallelujah. For this prophetic word, amen. Thank you, Lord. For every word that comes through the fivefold ministry to prepare and equip us to be the church that Jesus is building, hallelujah. Amen. You know, personally, I just want to testify to this, and I think I've said this before, but I can truthfully say that I have never felt any fear in relation to COVID-19. I have perfect shalom, peace, and every day the joy of the Lord continues to be my strength. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And yet, like Paul, I have felt greatly annoyed many times as this past year has progressed. And I kept bringing it before the Lord, and recently he reminded me of the scripture from which he first called me to ministry, and we had a wee conversation, a wee dialogue on the subject. You see, basically the Lord called and commissioned me at a personal level out of Ezekiel chapters 2 and 3. Then when I was ordained and sent out, the substance of these words were confirmed from the new covenant in Luke chapter 4 verses 18 to 19. We were sent out with these words, and the subsequent, to be honest, the subsequent reaction to this ministry has very much mirrored that of Jesus in his hometown when he stood up and spoke these words, reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, I'd love to read the whole of the two chapters in Ezekiel, but time won't allow that. But to be honest, in many ways and at many times, the words contained there have actually been very close to biographical. You know, the call is really there in chapter 2, and the commission is then detailed in chapter 3. In fact, I'm going to read some verses from Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 4 to 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them, for you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. I know the scripture says greet one another with a holy kiss, but sometimes I felt it was like a Glasgow kiss. Hallelujah. Anyway, moreover, verse 10, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears, and go get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them, and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. You know, over many years, I've sought to be faithful in receiving into my heart all of the words that he has spoken to me, taking these words and digging down deep through all of the tradition and everything else to allow these words to sink deep and lay a foundation. You know, these words that have established me in the immutables, and established the immutables in me. And that's what I sought to do with others, to establish you in the immutables. Hallelujah. We're no longer sinners trying to get righteous. We're born again as the righteousness of God because of what Jesus accomplished. Hallelujah. The power and authority in his name to resist sin. The same with sickness, same with oppression, same with every other manifestation of the curse. Born again healed, we're born again delivered, we're born again prosperous. Hallelujah. These words are words that proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. Words that only ever contain good news. And yet, sometimes you just go to scratch your head and wonder why these words are still rejected by so many. Anyway, the other day, the Lord asked me what prophetic role he had commissioned me to function in primarily. Then he led me back to Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 to 23. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the plain, and there I will talk with you. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. I had a very similar experience to that, just coming across the Pentland Road one evening in my milk truck. And I just saw the heavens open and I saw the glory. And that's why it's established in my heart. The glory is here. The glory is here. The glory is here. Just as the angels proclaim and declare from the very throne room of God, around the throne of God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And scripture says there will come a day when all of the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory. And that's what we want to see. We want to see everyone aware of the reality that the glory is here. That his goodness is all around us. So easily accessed. Kobo Shaka Basaka. He said, I've made you a watchman. Hear my word and give them warning. You know, the Hebrew word for watchman is a word, Safa. And it means to look out, to peer into the distance, to spy, to keep watch, to scope something out, especially in order to see approaching danger and to warn those who are in danger. You know, if you remember in the last part of this series, I asked the same question in regard to three scriptural examples of why things had to be done the way that they were done. I asked why it was necessary that they be done that way, and of course the answer is that things, it was the same answer in all three to the question in all three situations. The reason that they had to be done the way they were was because that is how the word of God said they were to be done. That was how the word of God prophetically stated they had to be done. Hallelujah. See, I don't go low. I go high. Amen. I go high. Amen. Give them five. Give them a high five. Give him thanks this morning that his thoughts are not our thoughts, that his ways are not our ways. They're much higher than our thoughts, much higher than our ways, which is why he invites us up to reprogram us with his thoughts so that we might walk in his ways. Hallelujah. Because your thoughts always become your ways. It'll be your thoughts and your ways, or it'll be his thoughts and his ways. Come on. Hallelujah. It's time for us to walk on the highway. The Bible says there's a highway of holiness. Hallelujah. Bobo shakabasaka. I don't go low. I go high. Hallelujah. If you remember, one of the examples we looked at was when David, the worshipper, wanted to restore the ark of God's presence to the midst of God's people where it belonged, so that everyone could have unhindered access to his presence, to the presence of the Lord, the manifest presence of God. Hallelujah. The only problem was that he failed to consult the word of God on how the ark was to be moved, how it was to be transported. And through that failure, a warning was missed, and a man called Uzzah died. You know, it was no accident, I believe, that our prophetic declaration for 2020 was the year of the unashamed. We had an unprecedented opportunity to unashamedly proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God and all of the provision and protection that is freely available to all who would choose to exit the kingdom of this world and enter his kingdom. If you remember, that's how we left 2019 and moved into 2020 with that message. Exiting the old and entering the new. But you know, instead of ensuring that the ark was moved the prescribed way on the shoulders of the priests, they rolled in a new cart and set off down the road. And as I've meditated on this as a parallel to much of what has been rolled in during this past year by way of substitution for the gathering of the church, I again see that our prophetic declaration for 2021 is the year of the local church. Is again no coincidence. As the Lord calls us back to his original and his exclusive design for making his presence freely available to all who love it, all who want it, all who recognize that they need it. Now, please don't get me wrong, there's no question that modern technology has opened up tremendous opportunities for the church to communicate the good news of the kingdom. But when it comes to the manifest presence of God in the gathering of the local church, there is no acceptable substitute for physically gathering together to release our praise and to receive instruction in real time. There are occasions when we desperately need to hear from the watchman prophet, someone who genuinely watches out for you and warns you of approaching danger. See, the biggest danger of the new cart of online ministry, as good as it is, and let me hear this, as good as it is up to a point, is the lack of genuine relationship. And so many of God's people are now feeding from those with whom they will never have a personal relationship, whose phone number they will never possess, whose home they can never go to and knock the door and say, put the kettle on. With whom they will probably never have direct contact in any kind of meaningful way. And if they get offended at anything that so-and-so says, they can just disconnect. And there's plenty of other options available. And nobody notices they are gone, because nobody really knew that they were there in the first place. You know, one brother who I respect and who I listen to occasionally has seen a new aspect of his ministry take off recently in the form of a daily, short daily online broadcast. And he now regularly and let me add honestly, thanks all the people who are getting in touch and sending gifts, but then he apologizes for the fact that he cannot reply to all of these communications personally. To his credit, he does say that he tries to read every communication that he receives. But obviously there will come a limit to that if the volume of correspondence continues to increase. And as I've said over and over, our Heavenly Father designed the church to function in the very best way and commanded us to continue according to his perfect design. Remember, this is the year of the local church. Paul, who had a far-reaching travelling ministry, gave this counsel to the local church. Hebrews chapter 13, Verse 17, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them continually, recognizing their authority over you. Please listen to this, for they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who will have to render an account of their trust. Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning, for that would not be profitable to you either. You see, as I meditate on this, I realise, you know, the problem of being distracted and giving extra value to counsel from those with whom you have no relationship, it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where our original parents allowed the warning of their Creator, with whom they had a real walking, talking relationship, they allowed that counsel and that warning to be usurped by the enemy of their souls, who rolled in on a new car in the form of a serpent with whom they had no real relationship. And as we know, the consequences were catastrophic. See, I don't go low. I go high. Just give them five right now. Give them a high five. You know, as a watchman, because I've tried to keep up with current trends, teachings, and I've seen many things on many new carts come and go, rise and fall, flourish and fade, help and hinder. And in the midst of all these observations and the most profound message that the Lord has communicated to me is that there are no shortcuts. He brought that to me, he showed me that many years ago, back in the mid-90s. There are no shortcuts, even though our flesh loves to look for shortcuts. And so you can roll in a new cart because you think it will help you to advance your righteous desires and reach your goal quicker, even your righteous desires. And it will help you to reach your goal quicker. But it's not God's prescribed way. If it's not His way, if it's not His prescribed way, then your efforts will more likely result in a frustrating delay. And so in these days, please hear me here, in these days of great spiritual turmoil, because that is what they are, it's important that we take notice of the many warnings of the New Testament regarding these days, so that we are not found to be sleeping in this time of our greatest opportunity. See, I don't go low, I go high. Give him five, give him a high five, come on. So I just ask you to please take note of the two warnings which I believe the Lord showed me as a watchman, so that I could pass on the warning of approaching danger to His people, to you, His people. This is the year of the local church. We have been silenced long enough. Our message of the gospel of the kingdom is the most relevant message in these days. We are not here to conform, but to transform. Before I go any further, just let me repeat what I've said before in this series regarding our warfare, never being with human personalities, but with demonic principalities. Even though the opposition may have human spokespersons that have been taken captive by deception to further His agenda, our battle, our warfare, is never against human personalities, but only against demonic principalities. I cannot say right now that I know everything that is going on in the background. I cannot say that I know the full extent of the wickedness that is driving the current radical changes in our culture and the stripping away of personal freedoms. But I do know, Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life. An abundance, a superabundance of life, an excess, more than enough, too much life. His life is the antidote to everything. All of the stealing and killing and destroying mess, he put a full stop there. The thief only ever comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. Full stop. I have come. I'm here now. I'm available to you now. Come on. It's not a time for us to conform to the world. The world that we have been commissioned to transform. Please hear me, I am no doom and gloom preacher. In fact, I am fully committed to being a good news preacher. And I will continue to live and preach in the steadfast belief that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, hallelujah. I'm believing for all. You know, Romans 10, chapter 13 is very clear in its simplicity and inclusiveness. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, the Greek word there for saved is sozo, which means to save, to heal, to cure, to preserve, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, and to deliver. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, healed, cured, preserved, kept safe and sound, rescued from danger or destruction, and delivered. That's it, folks. That's the good news. In a nutshell. See, I don't go low. I go high. Give him five. Give him a high five. Hallelujah. And in the midst of all that, I will also pass on the warnings that I believe the Holy Spirit gives me for the church. Even if the concept of a warning is not always the most popular aspect of prophetic ministry. In fact, in Mark chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honour, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now, Jesus issued many warnings throughout his ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says that the leaders who lead well should be considered worthy of double honour, especially those working hard at communicating the word and at teaching. Paul also gave many warnings to the churches. See, we need to understand, folks, that there is a spiritual storm blowing all around us. And so it's essential that we make the choice of whether to conform or to transform, to stay low or to go high. See, I don't go low. I go high. Hallelujah. Give him five. Give him a high five. Every day people ask me, it's an everyday occurrence now, people ask me if I've had the vaccine. And when I tell them no, they want to know why. And I simply tell them that I don't need it because Jesus is my healer. I don't want to just make that my testimony. I say, and he wants that for everybody. He provided the same healing for everybody. And I'm trying to learn not to present as an anti-vaxxer. And I'll be honest, that's not an easy route to navigate, but rather I want to give my personal testimony to our Heavenly Father's faithful provision for spirit and soul and body. I want to proclaim the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who is our Saviour, our Healer, and our Deliverer. You see, the Word of God covers every base. And we are exhorted and encouraged, and that gets all kinds of reactions, you understand, but the Word of God covers every base, and we are exhorted and encouraged in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. "But even in case you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, happy, to be envied. Do not dread or be afraid of their threats, nor be disturbed by their opposition. But in your heart set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you. But do it courteously and respectfully. And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, unimpaired, so that when you are falsely accused as evildoers, those who threaten you abusively and revile your right behavior in Christ may come to be ashamed of slandering your good lives." Kobashaka. I had so much more to talk about today. You know, in closing, I would simply like you to consider the two clear warnings that the Lord had me bring over the past year, so that we can stand fast in the freedom for which Christ has set us free, so we can be the city set on a hill that we are designed to be as we gather corporately without fear to proclaim the praises of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we come together to receive instruction and direction from him. See, I don't go low, I go high. Just give him five. Give him five. Give him five. Give him a high five. Give him praise. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you did not create us to go low, to stay low, but to go high. Hallelujah. 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 We choose, Father, not to conform, but to transform. Not to conform to this world, but to be agents of transformation. To lead many out of darkness into light. To testify to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that many might make that move, make that shift. Exit in the old and enter the new. Leaving behind the kingdoms of this world and entering into the kingdom of God, where everything has been provided in superabundance. Thank you, Father, for that reality and for that truth. We call in, by faith, the harvest that you have said is already white, already ready for the reaping. Bring them in, Lord, we pray. Help us, Lord, to go out every day as reapers in that harvest field, as laborers, Father, with our sleeves rolled up, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your voice, you will live.